clash forever. It was in the fall. That's about all I can remember. I was young, and I was also compelled to punch Tennessee Abigail in the face. She showed me her cunt and said she wanted to fuck me. My mind panicked, and I broke her nose. I was 16 and 2 years into that life of score and run, but never running far enough from perps or skag. You know those movies where Hollywood denies they exploit or glorify junkiedom? They're pretty accurate, but it's far worse than they make you believe. No bleeding hearts, please. I had choices, but I chose to accept the love with the destruction. I always had guardian angels. Sometimes they were out to lunch, dipping their toes in the frankincense ashes at the nearby church's wine cabinet. Walking away from the bulging 200-plus-pound bloody screaming mess, I felt bad for hurting her. Abigail continued to curse me out between twangs and gulps, an angry punk rock country song of sorts. I walked from the King Eddie to the Cecil, hoping for some hope. I didn't fear the cops, but I did fear Abigail's Agatha Street pimp, Big Chop, coming after me for some down-home plastic surgery to my ribs. Grasping for relief of the creeping fear, I thought about my history teacher, Mr. Hahn. He gave for honest-to-goodness shits about his students. I secretly enjoyed his middle-of-the-road politics. I relished discussing the American ideal and arguing back and forth with the well-to-do kids in class whose moms drank in secret and their dads had a secretary to screw on Thursday evenings. It didn't matter much, though. I would yell out, "The Clash forever." Mr. Hahn would remind me that his class was strictly a Rolling Stones establishment. I wasn't the type of girl who thought about the accepted American ideal of what girls should be like in the 80s. I guess I wasn't any type at all. I arrived at the Cecil. Big Mac styrofoam boxes and empty apple juice bottles grew out of the tarmac instead of weeds. I felt sad. I thought Tennessee Abigail was my friend. Sparecock Amos didn't have her drag on. We were going to go out, but I do remember her fingernails being exquisitely polished and groomed in seashell pink. Amos had a lot of hurt in her, too. I told her about what I had done to Abigail. She asked why, and I told her. Amos responded in a goddamn-given voice, "Good for you." Dusk was gray-golden, and the neon flashed halfway on hooch shop fronts. I took Sparecock's arm at her request. We waved at the half-life carnage on the sidewalks of Los Angeles Street. From one of the gutted-out warehouses, my mind convinced me Piaf's La Fula was wafting out. I unclasped from Spare's cautious restraint and twirled, neck stretched harvesting the notes in my ears like ripe peaches.